The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Beis. And we are on the fifth wide line on daf Kuf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. So we're in the middle of a rather intense technical sugya. The sugya began on daf Kuf Ayin Amid Beis. A Mishnah, Misha Parah Mikzas Chayvai. If somebody pays part of an outstanding loan, Ruven loan Shimon, $1,000. Shimon paid Ruven $500. The question is, what do we do with the existing shtar? On the one hand, Ruven still needs the shtar in order for him to be able to collect the other $500. Then again, the shtar says that Shimon owes him $1,000 when in fact Shimon does not owe him $1,000. So the Mishnah mentioned two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlef. Rabbi Yehuda said, we take the shtar, we rip it up, we write a new shtar, we tell the original Eidim to sign this new shtar. We date the new shtar based on the date of the original shtar. And the new shtar will reflect the new outstanding amount. Rabbi Yossi says, no, yichtev shayver. We leave the shtar as is. The shtar that says that Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000. And even though that would suggest that Shimon right now owes Reuven $1,000, when in fact he paid $500, so he doesn't owe him $1,000, he owes him $500, we give Shimon a shaver. We give him a receipt, so that if Reuven will come, which he will, and take out his shtar, which says, you owe me $1,000, Shimon will counter by taking out his shaver, and by taking out his shaver, he will not have to pay the $1,000, he'll only have to pay the $500. So yesterday we went into the third sheet of the Gemara, Rav Shita. The Gemara came out, Allah like Rav, how could Rav argue with two Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Says the Rashbam, Rav Tanu Upalik. We spoke a lot of raid at the end of yesterday's daf regarding Rav Tanu Upalik. But the Iker Sugya, where the Gemara segues from this, is into this, what seems to be a secondary point in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says the eights of a mishum para mixas chayva is yichtev shayver. Rabbi Yehuda said yachle. We don't write a shayver. It says the Gemara that it could be that this is a more general machlokes. Generally speaking, kaisvin shayver or ain kaisvin shayver. Now, what's the quintessential case of kaisvin shayver? It's not our Mishnah. It's a case where Reuven loaned Shimon again $1,000. Shimon comes to Reuven and he says, I want to pay you the $1,000, but I'm not giving you the money unless you give me back the shtar. Because if I give you the money and you retain the shtar, what prevents you from taking the shtar a second time and trying to collect again? If Reuven has the shtar, then obviously there's no shaila. Shimon pays the money, Reuven gives Shimon the shtar, and everybody goes home happy. The question emerges, what happens if Reuven says, Irchis li shtari, I lost my shtar, I don't have it. Could Shimon say, if you don't have the shtar, I'm not paying you? Or perhaps Reuven could say, listen, I understand that if I have the shtar and you pay me, it gives me the ability to go pull the shtar out a second time and collect a second time. But there's something we could do to prevent that. What we could do is, I'll give you a shayver, I'll give you a receipt. The receipt will say that you have made payment of $1,000 for this and that particular loan, so that if I ever pull the shtar out a second time, I won't be able to collect Shalikadin, because you'll be able to counter by pulling out the shayver. Lemaisa, it's a shayla in the Gemara. Kaisvin shayver, ain't kaisvin shayver. So the Gemara said, is that perhaps the machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, Rabbi Yossi said yichtev shayver, perhaps because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that we're always kaisvin shayver. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, that said, Misha para mixas chayva yachlef, and he didn't like Rabbi Yossi's idea of kaisvin shayver, perhaps it's because he had a fundamental issue with kaisvin shayver. What would be the svara to have a fundamental issue with kaisvin shayver? Because now you're requiring the loiva to watch his shayver. And if he loses his shayver at some point, now the malva has an ability to go and collect. The flip side is, if you hold ain't kaisvin shayver, you're obligating the malva to always have to watch his shtar chayv. Because if the malva loses his shtar chayv, the loiva will never have to pay him. Because ain't kaisvin shayver, and the loiva is not going to give the malva money where he knows there's a possibility that the malva will be able to go collect a second time. So does it make more sense to obligate the loiva? Does it make more sense to obligate the malva? The Gemara said a svara, evad loiva lishmalva. But either way, that's the sugya. It started with Misha para mixas chayvay, machlekis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether the way to move forward is yachlef by writing a new shtar, swapping this shtar with a new shtar that reflects the updated information, or is the appropriate way to move forward by writing the shayver? And the Gemara suggested that it could be the shayla is more yisoidi, it's more fundamental. The shayla is, do you it all write shofars or not. Could be Rabbi Yossi holds Yichdev Shofar in our Mishnah because he always holds Kosefin Shofar, and Rabbi Yehuda who argues and he says we don't write a Shofar in the Mishnah. Perhaps it's because Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that generally speaking, Ein Kosefin Shofar, says the Gemara. More on that note. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Shtari Chayv Hamuktamim, Psulim, V'Hamu'ucharim Ksherim. If Reuven loans Shimon money, it's a milva b'shtar, thus there's going to be a shtar chayv. And when the sofer sat down to date the shtar, he didn't date it based on the current date, but rather he chose a different date. Says the Mishnah, if the date is muktah, right? We're quite familiar with the halach. If the date is muktah, he picked an earlier date, then the halach is it's going to be possible. If he picked a later date, v'amucharin, the halach is going to be kosher. So let's chazer over, because it's very important and will take up a big part of today's daf. Why is a shtar muktim possible? And why is a shtar mu'ukhar kosher? The reason is because when a person lends somebody money, the loan can have ramifications outside of the malva and the loiva. There's a third entity, a third group of people known in the Gemara as the lakuchos that can be impacted based on this loan. And the reason is because when there's a milva b'shtar, if Reuven loans Shimon $1,000 and they document it in a shtar, all of Shimon's nechasim become meshubit to this loan. Which means that if when Reuven comes to Shimon to collect the money, Shimon says, I don't have any money, I'm broke, Reuven would have a right to go take any possession that Shimon had at the time of the loan away from the person that now has it. So whether the person that now has it is a lekeach, somebody bought it from Shimon, or whether it's a yoyrish, somebody inherited from Shimon, Shimon's not alive anymore, the halach is milva b'shtar goyvim enachasim mishubot. So when two people sit down and they transact a loan, this loan may have ramifications to other people. Who are those other people? Anybody that may acquire one of the loiva's possessions sometime between now and when the loan is collected. In the event that the loiva doesn't have money, the malva has a right to go take the loan from that person. Now, the truth is, if that's the case, every single time a person buys something, he's exposing himself to a risk. Because how do I know that my meicher, the person that I'm buying this from, didn't borrow money? And if he borrowed money, perhaps it was a milva b'shtar, which means that what I'm buying has a lien. You can't just call a title company today and run a search. I mean, today you could, but back in the day, it wasn't something that was so easy to do. So he's exposing himself to an enormous risk. The reason the Chachamim weren't worried about that, and the reason they weren't worried in the classic case of milva b'shtar goyvim and nechasim mishubadim, for what the Chachamim dubbed pseida de lekuchos, is because the assumption is that any time a loan takes place b'shtar, there's a koyel. People know about it. When there's a shtar, people talk. Shtar requires edim, it requires lawyers, it requires professionals, it requires a sofer. People are going to know about it. And people are going to know about it. Presumably, the lekuchos are going to know about it as well. So when this lekeach buys a field from Shimon, if Shimon borrowed money b'shtar, the lekuchos probably knew about this loan. If they knew about this loan, they understood the risk that they were getting themselves into. They were accredited investors. They knew what they were getting themselves into. If they knew what they were getting themselves into, we're comfortable allowing them. If you want to take that risk, that's fine. Where the halacha is that you can't be goyvra from the nechasim mishubadim is when it's a milval peh. Why? Because being that it was bal peh, there was no shtar. If there was no shtar, there was no koil. If there's no koil, how are the lekuchos supposed to know? It's for that reason there's a pseid of the lekuchos. Now, when the malva goes and collects from the lekuchos, in the event of, if that's what needs to take place, when is he allowed to collect from, meaning which nechasim, anything that the loiva had at the time of the loan, if he since sold it, the halach is, the malva can take those nechasim mishubadim in the event that the loiva currently does not have anything in his possession. Now, how do we know when the loan took place? We look at the shtar. Thus, here's the problem. If the date on the shtar is accurate, then it's very good. But what if the date in the shtar is not accurate? It's muktim. That means the loan took place pe'echad b'tishrei. But the shtar says it took place 7 months earlier. It took place pe'echad b'nisan. So based on that, the shtar will allow you to go collect from the kuchais that bought from Rosh Chodesh Nisan on. The problem is from Rosh Chodesh Nisan up until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, there was no koil. Why was there no koil? Because the shtar hadn't been written yet. Now, if you look at the shtar now, it looks like it was written then because it was predated. But really, it wasn't written at the time. When was it written? It was written on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So now you have Upseida Delakuchais. Now you have Upseida Delakuchais. So it's for that reason that Shtar Muktam is going to be possible. The reason the Shtar Muktam is possible is not because of the impact it has on the Malva and the Loiva. It's because, as we said, a Milva B'Shtar affects not just the Malva and the Loiva. It affects the Lakuchais as well. And those Lakuchais were only willing to impact in the event that it's fear, where they expose themselves to a risk that they understood and they willingly took upon themselves. So if there was a Milva B'Shtar, they should have known about it. Or at least do your due diligence. Before you buy a field, talk to people, go to the mikvah, find out that this person ever borrowed money. Was there a milva b'shtar? If he did, people will know about it. People know about it, so you'll know to get involved in this or not to get involved in this. If you're willing to take the risk, we're not going to cover for you. That's the halacha of milva b'shtar, goyve b'nechasa b'shabadim. But milva b'alped, there's no such halacha. Why? Because of pseidat al-kuchas. How is the lekech supposed to know? It's not fair. Mipnei Tikkun Olam, you can't have such a halacha that you're going to always go and take away from the lekuchas. It's for that reason a shtar muktim is going to be possible as well, because the shtar muktim is going to allow you to be toyer from the lekuchas based on the date of the shtar, and the date of the shtar is not the real day. So you're taking from people that bought from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when in fact Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when this person bought and he went to the mikvah and he spoke to the boys that seemed to know all the gossip in town, they didn't know anything about a loan. You know why they didn't know anything about a loan? Because there was no loan. The shtar says there's a loan. It's a shtar muktim. That's the halacha shtar muktim's possible. Shtar mu'ocher is kosher. Why is a shtar mu'ocher kosher? Because shtar mu'ocher only benefits the lekuchas. As far as the malva and the loiva go, it makes no difference. It's a wash. The whole question is, the question is from the lekuchas perspective. If you mark the mid, this say the lekuchas. If you ma'acher it, that means to the contrary. That means somebody that bought it even after the loan, his nechasim will not be mishovit, because the date of the shtar seems to say that they bought it before the loan actually took place. So a shtar muktim is pasul, a shtar mu'ucher is kosher. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, lo ishanu el shtari alva. This is only true by shtari alva. Av shtari mekachu memkar. But if you have a shtar mekachu memkar, a shtar mecher, afilu mu'uchar nami psulim. Even if the shtar is going to be mu'ucher, it's going to be pasul. So if Reuven sells his field to Shimon Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then ma'acher the shtar, they write on the shtar that it really took place Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, months later. The halacha is that this shtar mu'ucher is going to be possible. So by a shtar milva, that everybody knows, every child in yeshiva knows, maybe not why, but everyone knows, shtar ichayv ha-muktam psulin va-mu'ucharin ksherin. But said Rav Hamnuna, a very important caveat, there's an asterisk. It's only true for a shtar chayv, like the Mishnah says. But shtar mekach u'memkar, even a shtar mu'ucher is going to be possible. Says the Gemara, my time. Zimnin, the mazbalei arabidis, because we're afraid that maybe Reuven sold his field to Shimon Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because of Leib Tishrei, and they wrote a shtar mu'ucher. Again, what does that mean? They wrote the date in the shtar mecher as if the mecher took place months later. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What will happen if Shimon got money in, or Reuven found money in between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and he bought back the field that he sold to Shimon? The Chimot, Tishrei, now Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is going to roll along. Mapikle, Shimon is going to pull out his star Necher, Va'omale, and he's going to tell Reuven, Hadazavna Saminach, you sold it to me again. So the concern is that we're afraid that what will happen if Reuven sold something to Shimon and then he bought it back? If the original shtar mecher is a shtar mu'ucher, then when the date of the shtar mu'ucher comes, when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei arrives, the lekeach can come pull out the old shtar mecher and he can say, I bought it from you again. So therefore, the shtar mu'ucher is going to be possible. The Gemara says, ihachi, if you want to take that thought and follow through with the methodology, shtari halvanami, you could say the same thing by a shtar milva. What happens if somebody borrowed money in Nisan? Because of shtar b'tishrei, and they wrote a shtar milva, and then the loiva paid the malva back in between when the loan took place and the date that's written on the shtar. Now, when the loiva paid the malva back, the loiva told the malva, give me my shtar back. And he told him, irchasli, I lost it. Because of leitavro, he wrote him a shayv. Okay, so far so good. V'chimot is manei. Now in Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the Yom Ucher rolls along, the Malva is going to pull out the shtar. He's going to quote unquote find it. And now he's going to pull the shtar out. V'omalei. And he's going to tell him, hashtu diyos v'sminoi. Because what's going to happen? The Loiva When the Malva pulls out the shtar, it's in Sveit Demol, he's going to pull out a shoiver. You know what the problem is? The shoiver is a shtar. All documents are dated. It's going to be dated, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. The problem is, the shtar milva was a shtar mo'ocher. And being that the shtar milva was a shtar mo'ocher, it's dated Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So it looks like the shtar milva happened after the shoiver. Thus, the shoiver reflects a receipt for a previous loan. We spoke this out at the end of yesterday's daf. Whereas this shtar milva is already a new loan. So the same chash that you have by a shtar mekach hamemker Rav Amnuna, where you were mechadish, that we all know that shtarei hamucharim are ksherim. It's only by a shtar milva, it's not by a shtar mekach hamemker. Because what's your concern by a shtar mekach hamemker? Maybe the transaction will be undone in the interim, and you'll be able to pull out the shtar mucher to look like it happened again. So in the case of a shtar mecher, I'll sell it to you, you'll buy it back, and then it's going to look like it was sold again. Why does it look like it was sold again? Because the shtar was mo'ocher. The same exact concern you should have by every shtar milva, says the Gemara, kasavar in kais fin shayver. This is only a concern if kais fin shayver. Why? Because only if kais fin shayver is it possible for a loiva to pay back the loan and the malva to still have the shtar. This is the yisoid you have to get. It's only possible if you hold kais fin shayver. But if you hold ain kais fin shayver, what does that mean? That means that if the malva lost the shtar, the malva's not getting his money back. No ticket, no money, right? So you're not getting it back. You need the shtar. You want it back, you have to have the shtar. If ain kais fin shayver, this chashash can never happen. But al kaponim, what the Gemara just did was the Gemara came up with a new reason why a shtar mu'ucher should possibly be possible. We always think of a shtar mukdem and shtar mu'ucher in terms of lekuchas, like we spoke out in the Hakdama. From the lekuchas perspective, a shtar mukdem can make the lekuchas lose shalokadin. A shtar mu'ucher, if anything, only benefits the lekuchas. Thus, shtarim and mukdamim are pasul, shtarim mu'ucher makasher. What the Gemara is mechadish in light of this intense sugya of kais fin shayver and kais fin shayver is that there's another wrinkle in every shtar mukdem and shtar mu'ucher, and that is to the extent that the halacha is kais fin shayver. So it's possible for a loiva to pay back a loan and the malva to still be in possession of the chayv because kais fin shayver. It's there'd be another reason why a shtar mu'ucher should maybe be possible, and that new reason is because what happens if the loan is paid back before the date of the shtar? The shtar was post-dated 6 months. 3 months after the loan, it was paid back. The malva said, I don't have the shtar. He gave the loiva a receipt, and then later he found the shtar, and he went back to the loiva, and he told the loiva, pay me. What's the loiva going to do? What's his immediate reaction? Right? He calls his lawyer. The lawyer says, show him the shayver. You know what the problem is? The shayver is dated 3 months before the shtar. So what's the shayver going to help you? The shayver looks like it's from a different loan. It's a new reason why there should be a problem. The Gemara says it's such a good problem that you have to say, ein kais fin shayver. This Mishnah that says, shtarei mucharim akasher, again, that everybody knows, it's axiomatic throughout the Ashram Nezikin, only works if you hold ein kais fin shayver. But if you hold kais fin shayver, says the Gemara, there's a very obvious problem with this. But oh, malei rav yeh, malei rav kahana, v'amei rav yeh, mi dif. It doesn't work. Today we write shtarei mukhar. That's the minig Yisrael. Because we don't have, and we also write shayvris. So it says the Gemara Gishmak. If you're going to tell me that a shtar chayv that's mu'ucher could only be kosher if you hold ein kais fin shayver, then how do you reconcile these two halachas? On the one hand, we paskin halacha lemaisa, go to your local court, your local bezdin, they'll write a shtar mu'ucher, they're okay with that, and at the same time they also hold kais fin shayver. They will force a loiva to make payment to a loan, even though the malva claims that he lost the shtar. So how in the world do you reconcile these two things? So he told him, Amale basar, the amaluhu Rab Abba le safre. That the reason we do this, it's based on something Rab Abba instructed his scribes, his seifrim to do. He told them, whenever you write a shtar mu'ucher, kisvu hachi, add the following language. This shtar was not written in its proper time. Ella echarnuhu uchsavnuhu. Write clearly that this shayver is a receipt for a shtar mu'ucher. If you write clearly that it's a receipt for a shtar mu'ucher, if the malva, Reuven, is going to come to the loiva and he's going to say, you owe me $1,000. And the loiva is going to pull out a shayver. Even if the date of the shayver is earlier than the date of the shtar chayv, if the amounts match, Bezda will not allow the malva to be given money. Because if the shayver has the added language and says that this is a receipt for payment for a loan that was written in a shtar, but that the shtar was mo'ucher, so now Bez is not going to be fazed by the fact that the date of the loan is later than the date of the shayver, because this was already addressed. It was preempted in the shayver. When the shayver already said that shtara dinan loy bezimne kesavne ela echarnu, Rav Ashi told Rav Kahana, it sounds good. In theory, it works very well in Beis Medrash. But for Idna, the Lake of Inanachi, says, I'm out there, and I have a Bezdin, and I'm telling you the Seifrim don't do this. The Seifrim do not add this language. So the Seifrim will allow a Shtar Me'ocher. The Seifrim are of the opinion that Kais Fin Shaver, and they don't add this language of Shtar Denan, Loi Bezimne, Ksavne, Ela Icharnu, Ksavnu. Says the Gemara, practice if you create Ksuba. Ki Kasvisu, Hani, Tavri. So he told him back, the reason we do it now is basically Rav Safra once told his seifrim, and that is because whenever you write a shoiver, if you know the date of the original shtar, then you should write it in the shoiver. And Eloi, if you don't know the date of the original shtar, then don't put a date in the shoiver. The Chol Amos, the Nafik Lare, because of exactly this concern. So what they used to do was one of two things. Either they would write in the Shoiver the date of the Shtar Chayv. So the Shoiver, even though payment was made in Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it would say it's payment for a loan that's documented in a Shtar that's dated 3 months later. It's dated Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. They would write that clearly inside of the, or they just wouldn't date the Shoiver. If there's no date in the shaver, what's your concern? Your concern is that when the malva comes to the lever is going to pull out the shaver's not going to help him. Why? Because the date of the loan is later. It's mukhar from the date of the shaver. That's all true if there's a date on the shaver. But if there's no date on the shaver, then this is going to be a moot point anyways. But the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, Ramalei Ravashi l'Rav Kahana. Again, this is all good in Beis Medrash, but v'ha'id l'leik of dinan hachi. Again, I've seen these documents. I've gone through them. They don't write this. They don't write this. So they go with shtar mukhar kosher, they go with kais fin shaver, and they date the shaver based on the day that it was. They don't add any language to suggest that this shaver was written in receipt of a shtar chayv that was mu'ukher, so you're exposing the loiva to an unfair risk. Says the Gemara, Amalei told the Rabbanan to kuna tekini. The Rabbanan gave etzes. Man the Ovid, whoever follows the etzes of the Rabbanan, Ashrecha, man the layovid, iud afsad anafshe, you know what? It's his own problem. We gave you an idea. It's not like we set you up to fail. We gave you etzes. There's ways around it. The Gemara just suggested three things you could do. It's not so complicated. If you want to follow what the Chum said to do, do. If you don't want to follow it, don't. Rav Bar Shela told Seifrim that used to write Shtore Mikna. So what's a Shtar Mikna? Nechosim Sheish L'machrayis Niknis B'kesef B'shtar V'chazaka. So whether we're dealing with a Mekachum Emker or whether you're dealing with a Matana, Nechosim Sheish L'machrayis transfers Rishus with a shtar. So Rav Barav Shela told the Seifrim they used to write these shtaris, Kikasvisu shtar yak naisa. When you write the shtar mikno, Iyodisu yoim in the kanisu be kisvos. Listen to this. The Kenyan took place Rish Chodesh Nisan. The Seifrim are sitting down and they're writing the shtar on Rish Chodesh Tishrei. They have to date it. So what date should they give it? So he told them, if you know the date that the Kenyan took place, kisvu. Write the date that the Kenyan took place. What we know is a shtar muktim. Write the date Rish Chodesh Nisan, not Rish Chodesh Tishrei. V'iloi, and if you don't know, kisvu yoyim de kaimisu be. Then write today's date. Ki heichad loy mischazik kishikra. But what you shouldn't do is don't just guess. Don't almost get it right. It should be one of two dates. It should either be the date that the kinyan took place. That's preferable. If you don't know the date that the kinyan took place, then at the very least, you should write today's date. But just to guess a date, don't do, because then people may find out later that it wasn't right. It's mechzi kishikra, and then bad things can come from that. So that's something that we're trying to prevent. But it sounds like Rav Bar Shela told the Seifrim that they should write a shtar muktim. Now, what kind of shtar are we talking about? It's not a shtar choyv. Shtar chayv, that's a Mishnah. Tanan hasam, shtori chayv ha-mukdamim are pasal. What we're talking over here about is a shtar mikna. Why is a shtar mikna okay to write a shtar mukdam? This is a very long Rashbam over here. We're not going to go through the Rashbam, but the Rashbam says because a shtar mikna is one of two things. Either it's a shtar matana, or it's a shtar mekachem emker. Shtar matana, there's no reason it shouldn't be able to be mukdam. Because again, what's the whole concern with a shtar mukdam? the pseudo de lekuches. There's no lekuches when you're dealing with a matana. If somebody receives a gift, he has no recourse if the gift's ever taken away from him. There's no element of lekuches when you deal with a matana. Being that there's no element of lekuches when you deal with a matana, there's no reason that the shtar muktim should be possible. What about a shtar mekachememker? Shtar mekachememker, there's certainly elements of lekuches. How so? If Reuven sells something to Shimon, and then Reuven's balchoyf takes the field that was sold away from Shimon, Shimon can now go back to Reuven. What if Reuven doesn't have anything? Shimon can go back to Reuven's lekuchos. So there could be a cheshbon of lekuchos. I'm Reshbam, I'm Betosvis. We're not going to go into that now. Either way, there's a very posh deteretz, but I just want to go weiter. Omalu Rav Lesafre, Vachain Omaluhu Rav Huna Lesafre, Kikan Misu Beshili. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. When you're in Shili, Kisfu Beshili, you should write that you're in Shili. And even though what you were instructed to write, you were instructed in Hini. Kikamisu bihini, kisfu bihini, write that it's in Hini. So someone had a sense of humor. He could have picked two other cities, presumably. But either way, it could have been Pompadisa and Sura. But the point is this. The point is that there should be two dates in the shtar. The seifim should write where they are when they're writing the shtar, and they should also write where they were when they were instructed, or where this transaction that they are talking about in the shtar actually took place. So again, kikaimisu b'shili, kisfu b'shili, v'afagav, de b'sirin l'chumili b'hini, and kikaimisu b'hini, kisfu b'hini, v'afagav, de b'sirin l'chumili b'shili. Need a few comments. Oh, my Rav, hi, man, another star by Meyazuzi. If somebody has a star that says that he loaned somebody $100, he goes to Bezen, and he tells Bezen, you know, I'd like to convert my one star of $100 into two stars of $50. Now, why would he want to do that? Very simple. Our sugya. Because in our sugya, when someone's para mixas chayvai, you see it gets complicated. Right? Misha para mixas chayvai. So according to Rabbi Yossi, for sure, from the loiva's perspective, now he's going to have a shayver. So to prevent being a para mixas chayvai, so the Malva goes to Bezdin. The Gemara will say maybe the Leiva can also go to Bezdin. What happens if they say, you know what, I don't want this. I want to prevent that from happening. So I know the Leiva is going to give me $50. So before he gives me the $50, I'd like to convert my $100 loan, my $100 shtar chayv, into two shtaris, $50. It actually makes sense. Says the Gemara, loy mashvinalu, we don't do it. My time. Because at the end of the day, we feel that having the shtar, $100, instead of two shtaris of 50-50, actually benefits the malva and it benefits the leiva. It sounds like from the Gemara that if Chazal were felt that maybe somebody's at an unfair advantage or disadvantage by having it 100 versus 250s, you know, maybe we would consider it. But at the end of the day, says the Gemara, it actually works this way. There's no reason to acquiesce to this request because it's fine. It actually works very well for the malva, it works very well for the leiva to have the $100 star as opposed to the $250 stars. How is that? Nichalei l'malva k'desh yakov the pirate. Because what's going to happen if the leiva is a para mixas chayva? According to Rabbi Yossi, that holds koisvin shayva, we're going to allow the malva to keep his star that says that the leiva owes him $100, and we're going to force the leiva to take a shayva that he's going to have to be shaymer min achbar. So it's very good for the malva, because the leiva doesn't want to have to be shemim ben achbarim. Now he's incentivized to pay the loan, because he knows that if he doesn't pay that balance that's outstanding, the malva's sitting on a shtar that he can go and collect from him. The only way to get the shtar away from the malva is by paying the balance. So the leiva is very much incentivized to pay the balance. So it's certainly nichalei l'malva to have this $100 shtar versus the 250s. For nichalei l'leiva, it's also good for the leiva. Ki heichet denifkim shtare. And this is a halacha that we haven't had yet. And that is, it's a sugi in ksubis, that if somebody admits, somebody goes to somebody else, pulls out a shtar that says, Reuven tells Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I paid 50. I paid 500. Half of it I already paid. Here's my shayver. So now the halacha is that once Reuven wants to get payment on the other $500, he would have to swear. It's a shtickle like a moida b'miktsas, right? Think of a moida b'miktsas. You owe me $1,000, I owe you $500. I hear there's this concept, but there's a moida b'miktsas element over here. But the bottom line is that a pegemes ksubas, so you have it with regards to a shtar chayv as well, that if I acknowledge that half of the chayv was already paid, in order for me to collect the other half, I would have to swear. So it's actually nichalei l'leiva. The leiva also ends up benefiting somehow by having a shtar choiv that was part of the mikzas. Why? Because being that the shtar choiv was part of the mikzas, now if the malva is going to want to collect the other mikzas from the loiva, he's going to have to swear. If there were two shtaris, each one was chamshin and chamshin, you wouldn't have this halacha. Why not? Because there's no pegemes. Pegemes is the taich half of the shtar choiv. Here there's two shtari choiv, and each shtar choiv is separate. One shtar choiv you're saying was paid, the other shtar choiv you're saying wasn't paid. But if you're going to be pegemes or pegame in one of the two shtaris, then it chapanaf. Gemina, either way, so the Gemara says, being that it's nichalei l'malva v'nichalei l'loiva, it makes more sense to keep it that way. V'amar Rava said, hey man, did not trade shtari b'nei chamshin chamshin. What if in the reverse? What if somebody had two shtaris? Each star was for 50. V'amar, and he said, shavinu nahali chad barmeya, and he goes to Bezit. He says, I want to swap it out. I want, instead of the two shtaris of 50, I want one star of 100. By the way, if the malva and the loiva are both in agreement with this, then there's no issues. The issue is where they're not in agreement with this. Says the Gemara, one person wants it. The malva goes to Bezit, and he says, I would like to switch my shtar. We don't do it. And again, it's the same svara. Ovid Rabban and Milsa the Nichalei L'Malva V'Nichalei L'Loiva. Because at the end of the day, the Chachamim felt that there's nothing wrong with having two shtaris of 50-50. It works for both of you. How does it work? It's the opposite svaras of what we just said. Nichalei L'Malva, it's good for the Malva to have two shtaris of 50 as opposed to one shtar of 100. Ki heichid the loy nifkim shtarit. So that when the loiva pays 50 and now the Malva wants to collect the other 50, he won't have a din of a play game where he has to swear to collect the other 50. He'll be able to collect the entire 50 without a shvua. V'nichalei L'Loiva. And it's also good for the loiva to have the two shtaris of 50 rather than one shtar of 100. That's easy. Kadesh lo yakov l'poira. So that if he pays 50, he's not a para mikzas choivoi, so that he'll get the shtar back, as opposed to having to have a shaver that'll have to be shomer min ha'achbarim. Either way, being that it ends up working out both for the malva and for the loiva, there's no reason not to leave it this way. Somebody has a shtar, Reuven has a shtar that he loaned Shimon $100. V'amar, and he goes to Bezdin, and he tells Bezdin, Shavini nahali chad bar chamshin. I want to swap it out. I want to swap it out. Instead of having a shtar that says that Shimon owes me $100, I want a shtar that says that Shimon owes me $50. We don't listen to my time. At first glance, sounds like a very noble thing to do. Wow, he's walking away from $50. Says the Gemara, we're smarter than that. Amrinon, hi Nifra Pare. This loiva probably paid the $100. And when the loiva paid the $100, he said, where's my shtar? Amalei Yerchasli. And Kaisvin Shaver, right? So he got a Shaver in return. What does the Shaver say? The Shaver says that he paid $100. So if the Malva is going to pull out a shtar now that says, you Shimon owe me $100, what's the loiva going to do? What do we do? I have a receipt. I have a Shaver that says you owe me $100. You know what the Malva did? He's a Chevroman. He said, let me swap out the shtar. Instead of having a shtar that says you owe me $100, I want a shtar that says you owe me $50. So now when the person pulls out the receipt that says, I paid you $100, this is a different loan. This is 50. This is not 100. Because of he's going to say it's a different chayv. So therefore, even though at first glance, it sounds like this Malva is a really good guy, and to the contrary, he's walking away from half his loan, says the Gemara, could be, but there's another possibility as well that we have to take into consideration. And that is that maybe he's a really bad guy, and maybe he's holding on to this loan despite the fact that it was paid. How's it shayach? How could I have a shtar choyv if the loiva already paid? What's the answer? Koisvin shayver. The answer to almost every kash in the last 2 days. Koisvin shayver. So now he still has the shtar choyv. He can't collect it because the loiva has the shayver to counter the shtar choyv. If he plays with the numbers a little bit, it's going to look like the shayver doesn't match the shtar choyv. So he's just going to lessen the amount a little bit. He'll pull it out. Says the Gemara, we're not going to let that happen. As a result, loy mashvinu. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Shnei achim, there were two brothers. Echad ani v'echad asher. One was an ani, the other one was an asher. V'niachlem aviyam merchat to beisabat. The father died. He left over an inheritance, a yerusha. The yerusha was a merchatz or a beisabat. So a merchatz is a merchatz, a bathhouse. A beisabat was an olive press. A son, l'schar, if when the father was alive, he had a business. He used to rent out the merchatz or he used to rent out the beisabat to earn income. So the halach is the two brothers that Yarshin can obligate each other to continue to use the merchatz and the beis abad in the same way that their father did, and aschar leentza, and any proceeds that come from this little business they'll be able to divide between themselves. Asan la'atzma, if the father used to use the merchatz for himself, or used to base the bag for himself, it was for personal use, he didn't use it commercially, hareya asha ima la'ani, then the asher can tell the ani, kach l'cha avadim v'yirchatzu, I want to do exactly what our father used to do. So that our father used to use the merchatz for himself, let's do the same thing. And ani, my brother, I understand you don't have money, and you don't really have a need for this big extra merchatz. You don't have avadim like I do, so that I need this merchatz, because I don't want my avadim to bathe in the same bathhouse that my family uses, so I can use this merchatz. You don't? I don't want to tell you. Borrow avadim, buy avadim, figure it out. Or kach l'cha zesim, uvav aseh b'beis avad. You don't have zesim, you don't have a need for the beis avad. The point is that the ani can't force the usher to sell it, or to rent it. You would think that the ani could tell the usher, you're at an unfair advantage. We both yarshim something together. You could have anah from it. I can't have anah from it. Because you have to be a gvir to have anah from a merchatz. You have to be a gvir to have anah from a beis abad. You can't have anah from a beis abad if you don't have zeisim. Now, if you're going to rent it out, if you're going to sell it, then anyone could have anah from it. But over here, where the father used to use a la'atzmai, the shaila is, on the one hand, the usher can come with a kayach hataina. He could say, our father used it for personal use. I also want to use it for personal use. And I'd rather have use for it. I have zeisim that I can use the beis habad for. I have avodim that I can use the merchatz for. Then again, the ani is going to say, but I can't. So what's the halacha? Hareha usher. The usher is the one that the rich get richer, and he can tell the ani, kach l'cha avodim v'yirchatzu b'merchatz, kach l'cha zeisim ubav asei b'beis habad. Shleim shayu b'irachas. There were two people that lived in the same city. Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem Achad Yosef ben Shimon. These are the famous Shnei Yosef ben Shimon hadon b'irachas. We had it earlier in the parak, but we didn't learn that daf together. So here you have two people with the same name, Yosef ben Shimon, that live in the same city. So the halacha is ein yochel mohitzi shtar chayv zalzeh. So Yosef ben Shimon can't go over to Yosef ben Shimon and say, you owe me $1,000, because I owe you $1,000, maybe you owe me $1,000. Says the Gemara, v'loy acha yochel mohitzi aleim shtar chayv. Additionally, nobody can go over to Yosef ben Shimon and ask him for money. Someone's going to go over to Yosef ben Shimon and say, you owe me $1,000. Really? How do you know? Because I have a shtar. What does the shtar say? The shtar says that you loaned $1,000 to Yosef ben Shimon that lives in this and that shtetl. Maybe you loaned it to the other Yosef ben Shimon that lives in the same shtetl. Either way, so each Yosef ben Shimon cannot be moitzi shtar chayv zeh al zeh. Additionally, an acher, a third person, can't be moitzi shtar chayv on any one of these Yosef ben Shimon. Nitzel le'echad ben shtar Yosef shtar shi Yosef ben Shimon parua. Let's say somebody finds a shtar chayv that says that he had loaned money to Yosef ben Shimon and he paid. And it just so happens that he had loaned money to both Yosef ben Shimons, and it says that one of them was paid. He doesn't know which one. Shnei and Peruim, they're both going to be paid. Meaning you can't collect from any of them. What's the point? Again, Safik Momin, Amoitzi Mechaveri, Oliver Rai, Keita Yasu. So what should you do? If Yosef ben Shimon wants to borrow money, no one's going to lend him money because he knows he can't get payment for it. So what's the Eitzah? Yishalishu. Write the third door. Yosef ben Shimon ben Chaim Yankel. Vim hayu mishulashim. Let's say both of their fathers were Chaim Yankel. Yichtevu simen. The Rashbam says you should try to identify a unique physical characteristic of this person. He's tall, he's short, v'chulu v'chulu. And that's a write it in the stars, like this you'll know. Velchi Yosef ben Shimon, but the Shaina Vasavu, that one. So you'll know exactly how to identify him. Vim Hayim Misumadim, let's say they both had a Shaina Vasavu. Yichtavu Kayin, then if one of them is a Kayin, the Gemara's running out of ideas. But Tein L'chachem Yech Gemay, the point is try to be smart about it, if you know that there's another Yosef ben Shimon in this city, because otherwise you're going to run into classic Suffolk Mammon issues. So you have another example of a Safik Mammon, Hamoitzim Echaveri, all of a Raya, all the different sugyas, chazokas, and raivs that plays itself out in this cute little case where you had two people with the same name, Yosef and Shimon Adarim Birach. There was a star that was in Rav Huna's Bezin Avikosebe that said as follows, Ani Pliny Bar Pliny, Lavisi Mona Mimcha. It says, I, Pliny Bar Pliny, legit, borrowed money from you. Now, who's you? Doesn't say. It didn't say who you is. But the person that walked into Rav Huna's Beis Din said, I'm the you. It's me. I'm the one holding it. Now, it doesn't say anywhere that this Pliny Bar Pliny owes me money, because it doesn't say my name in the shtar. But it says he owes you money, So presumably, I'm the muchzik of the shtar. So doesn't it mean me? I'm Ravuna. Ravuna said, no, it doesn't mean you. Mimcha can mean afilu mereish kalusa, afilu mishmar malka. Maybe he owes money to the president of the United States. I have no idea. I don't know. Avali Rav Chizda l'Rabba. Pukayimba, tila urta, barilas. Rav Chizda told Rabba, go be ma'ayin in this halacha. I heard this big psak from Ravuna, and I know Ravuna, tonight when he sees you, Rabbi, he's going to ask you this shayla. He's going to want to know if he paskin right. Yeah, it's a big kiddush, not so pashit. But my sense is, I borrow money from you. Maybe the person holding the shtar, he's the one. Somebody, Rav Chizda l'Rabba, pukayim, but look into this, the urta, and now, boilach Ravuna. Ninoch, nofak, so Rabba spent the whole day in Beis Medrash, tok v'ashkach, and he found maybe a makar to this halacha. The Tanya, we learned to the Brayza, get sheish, olavei, the main boy's man, a get isha that has Aiden but has no zman. Abishol, oimer, Abishol says, im kosov boy, if, although it doesn't say as man, it says, gerashtia hayoin, I divorced you today, kosher. Alma, what do you see from there? Hayoin, hahu yoim, the rabbi beimashma, that today is a date. Even though when you're reading it now, you don't know when Hayoim is. When was it written? Is Hayoim today? Is it yesterday? Is it a year ago? Is it 5 years ago? You have no idea what Hayoim is. But if it says Hayoim, we let that fly. And we say, Hahu Yoim Adinafik Bei Mashma. That it probably means, and this is a big Kiddush, the day that this get emerged in court, that is the date of the get. But the point is, it's considered as man. Right? A get has to be as have his man. Mipnei ma tiknu zman begitin machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rishlok, which is one of the festest sugis of Masechtes Gittin, is zman begitin. Why were they Masechtes going to get his man? But the point is, this get has to have his man. This get didn't have his man. It didn't have a date. What it said was, hayoim. And from the fact that the Braisa says, Abishol said, im kosa by gereshtia hayoim kosher, what you see from there is that hayoim, ahu yoim adar for mashma, is considered a day. So Hanami, so Rabbah argued, mimcha meahu gavid, Rabbah bitu say yodim mashma. Just like hayoim is considered a date on the day that the get emerges in Bezdin, so too mimcha should mean that it belongs to the person who is bearing the shtar right now, says the Gemara. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya told Rabba, V'duma Abishol k'Rabba Loza Sfirulei. I don't know if you have it right, because maybe Abishol holds like Rabba Loza. Dama Eid Masir Karti. And a long Rashbam here that's more relevant when you learn Masechtas Gittin. The Rashbam makes a cheshbin that according to Rabba Loza, that holds Eid Masir Karti, just like you don't need Eidim in a get, Midday Rice. It's only Mipnei Tikkun Olam. We spoke about this a few days ago, that you write the chesimus of the Eidim inside a get. But midday rice you don't, so too you wouldn't need a zman either. So if Abishol held like Rabbi Loza, they don't really need a zman in the first place, so it's not such a raya why hayoim would be okay. Because we're going, according to Rabbi Loza, that holds that the whole zman begitin is only a din lekatchila. Avalacha, but over here, it's different. Over here, you have to know who the malv is. And not just that, just because you're holding the shtar, that doesn't mean anything, because lechosh nefila, maybe somebody else had it, he dropped it, and you found it. But I mean, you have no raya that mimcha means you, because in that braisa where Abishol said hayoyim is kosher, maybe he's going to coin Rabbi Loza that Jose the Messiah Karti, you don't really need his man. That's why hayoyim is going to be okay. So mimcha to mean for sure you nothing. Elamai, you're going to say, but this guy has the shtar. If he has the shtar, isn't that a raya that it's his? So he said, no. Abai said, that's certainly not a raya because leichash l'nefila. Because maybe he dropped it. Right? There's two issues over here. Number one, does mimcha mean the person holding it? And number two, the fact that I'm holding it, at the very least, let that be a raya. Let that be a raya that it's mine. Mimcha to mean you, mechitesi. We thought maybe we had a raya from Abishol, but we deflected that rather easily. Elamai, the fact that I'm holding it, mechosh nefila. Amalei. But Rabbi told Abaya, I hear what you're saying, that maybe the tsushtel from Abishol's halacha of hayoim to mimcha is not such a good tsushtel. But in terms of your primary taina of leichosh lenafila, that just because this person is the one holding on to the shtar in Bezdin, that's not a raya that it's his shtar, because maybe somebody else had it, dropped it, nefila, and he found it, leichashina. We're not chayish lenafila. We're not tamro. How do I know the leichashina lenafila? The tanan, I know it from our Mishnah. Shnayim shayi birachas, there were two people in the city. Shayim mechad yosef ben Shimon, v'shayim macha yosef ben Shimon. Said, what did Mishnah say? Einam yichayim loyisish achayim zalze. Yosef ben Shimon can't try to take money from Yosef ben Shimon. Nor can anyone else try to take money from Yosef ben Shimon. Because we don't know. Is it this Yosef ben Shimon? Or is it that Yosef ben Shimon? It's mashma, however. If Yosef ben Shimon wants to try to get money from somebody else, that's something he'd be able to do. right? If Yosef ben Shimon walked into Beis Din and he has a shtar choiv, it says that I loaned money to Pliny, I loaned him $1,000. Pliny would have to give Yosef ben Shimon the money. If Pliny tries taking the money from Yosef ben Shimon, he can't. Because Yosef ben Shimon could always say, I don't owe you money. The other Yosef ben Shimon owes you money. And despite the fact that it says Yosef ben Shimon in the shtar, it's not me, it's the other guy. And it's a suffix moment, I'm Yitzhak Mechaveri all over red. But if Yosef ben Shimon wanted to take the money out, what would be the halacha then? If Yosef ben Shimon walks to Beis Din and he goes over to Pliny and he says, you owe me money, what would be the halacha over there? Says Rabbah, it's mashma from the Mishnah. The halacha is, hohem alachirim yecholim. They would be able to pull, because why shouldn't you be able to? Says, I'll tell you why. Maybe the other Yosef ben Shimon is the malva. And that Yosef ben Shimon dropped the shtar. And this Yosef ben Shimon found it. And that's why he's being Moitzi Mamin. Elamai, what do you see from there? Elalav, shmami no, lenefilo lechashino. You see, an archai is lenefilo. But Abaye told him back, whoa, it's very, very different. This Chayesh Lenefila and that Chayesh Lenefila are very different. Again, let's just present it and we're finished. The case in our Mishnah is where there were two people, Yosef and Shimon. Yosef and Shimon walks into Beis Din, he says, Chaim Yankel, you owe me $1,000. How do you know? Because I have a shtar. It says that Chaim Yankel borrowed $1,000 from Yosef and Shimon. Maybe I borrowed from the other Yosef and Shimon. I don't want to talk to you. So the halacha is no, Yosef and Shimon can pull the money. So it says the Gemara, what do you see from there? You're not chayish l'nefilo. You're really not chayish. Then maybe the real mal was the other Yosef and Shimon. He dropped it, and this Yosef and Shimon found. The case that appeared in Rav Huna's court was when someone walked into Beis Din, and it says that Chaim Yankel owes you, or me, $1,000. Who's me? Chayish. Doesn't say. It doesn't have anyone's name. So the shaila is, do you assume that the person that's holding it is the me or not? So again, chayishinu l'nefilo, chayishinu l'nefilo. So at first glance, there seems to be a parallel. Are we concerned that the person holding the shtar is really not the malva? There was a real malva somewhere who lost the shtar. He's trying to find it. This person just so happened found it, and in the interim is trying to collect on the loan. Said Abaye, the two cases are very different. L'nefilo dechad loichashinon. L'nefilo derabim chashinon. L'nefilo derabim chashinon. To think that Yosef ben Shimon dropped the star and punked another guy whose name is Yosef ben Shimon, even though we know there are two Yosef ben Shimons in the city, but punked the other Yosef ben Shimon, found the star, that loichashinon, that seems far-fetched. But in the case of Rav Huna, whoever would have found the star could have walked into Beis Din and made this claim. Whether his name is Yosef ben Shimon, or his name is Reuven ben Yaakov, it doesn't matter what his name is, because it says you, it says me, that could be anybody. So l'nefilo derabim, to think that maybe someone dropped the shtar, and anybody found it, yeah, that's a legitimate chash. There's a real chash that somebody found it, that's a good chash. But to be chayish that maybe punked Yosef ben Shimon found it, that not. So going back to the case, ahu shtar d'nov l'beidina d'Rav Huna, d'avakosev be'ani ployni bar ployni lovisi mona mincha. Rav Huna said, you can't collect. Why? Mimcha, maybe afilu mereish kalusa, v'afilu mishvar malka. Because I'm worried that maybe you're not the mimcha that's mentioned in the shtar. It's somebody else. Why do you have it? I'm chayish l'nefilo. Why are you chayish l'nefilo? I don't. People drop things. People lose things sometimes. There's a whole perikei l'metzias because people lose things. So maybe somebody else had the shtar. He dropped it. You found it. And you're acting as an imposter, as if you're the real malva, when really you're not the malva. But at the same time, it's also true that if there are two people named Yosef and Shimon that live in the same city, and one of those Yosef and Shimon goes into Beis Din and he tries to collect the loan, the halacha is that the loiva will have to pay him. And we don't say that maybe the other Yosef and Shimon is the malva. He dropped it and punked this Yosef and Shimon found it. Because l'nefilo dechad, to say that punked the other Yosef and Shimon found Yosef and Shimon's star, that's already too remote, and for that, loichet.